We are glad to be here tonight, and if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 26. Thankful tonight for what I feel. Thankful that I'm saved, and glad I've got a heavenly home tonight. The choir sung the song, "My Sins Are Gone," and if we think about that, that ought to give us all a reason to rejoice, to know that our sins are gone. And some might say, well, how did they get that way? Or, you know, how do you all of a sudden be able to make that statement? As I thought about as we were singing that song, and what a joy it is to know that our sins are no longer imputed unto us. I mean, they were imputed unto us, but through the blood of Christ, they're covered. And so in the eyes of God, those sins that were handed to us are removed. I'm thankful for that. Acts chapter 26. You got your Bibles real quick. The Bible says this, and Paul's giving an account to Agrippa here in the 26th chapter. And he comes on down here in verses 16, 17, and 18. And he says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." And you can be seated. These are the things that Christ was telling Apostle Paul, that Paul recorded or quoted or gave back to King Agrippa in his defense when they were taking him on to Rome. But he talks here about what the purpose was that Christ had saved him and called him upon the road to Damascus. And Paul states here that according to what Christ had told him was that the Lord was going to deliver him from the people, from the Gentiles, and he was going to send him to them, to the Gentile people, for this reason and for the purpose, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, and that was Christ Jesus. So as we begin to look about how it is that we can say our sins are gone, we quickly realize that we receive forgiveness of sin from God. And we receive the forgiveness of sin because of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And I was sitting down there as Mom and Dad were singing, and I try to jot down a few of the other things that we have received. And we begin to think about what it is to know that your sins are gone. And what it is to know and have that feeling to realize that when you come up off of the altar, the burden and the weight and the concern that you carried to the altar has all of a sudden, Brother Chester, been lifted off of you. And you no longer have that weight of sin to carry anymore. And how it feels to realize and to know for the first time in your life that the sins that you were carrying around and the things that you tried to deal with on your own, that all of a sudden you don't have to deal with those things anymore. And when they begin to sing, "My sins are gone," you ask me why I'm happy. So I'll just tell you, because my sins are gone. There is no greater thing in life that we can be joyful about than to realize that when we stand before God, that all those things that, hey listen, that once had us bound up and on our way to hell, that God had forgiven us those things. He has cast them as far as the east is from the west, and they'll never be brought up to our account again. Hey, listen, and so it is that Paul's telling Agrippa here that God had called him out from among the people, and he had delivered him from those people that, hey, listen, that were there that day.
and delivered him from even Agrippa, and delivered him from Festus, and delivered him from Felix, and delivered him from all the Gentile people, so that he could go about and tell of the whole world what it is to be saved, what it is to have blinded eyes open, what it is to come out of darkness and walk in the marvelous light of God, what it is to turn from the power of Satan unto the power of God, what it is to be able to stand for the first time and say, my sins are gone, and what it is to receive the forgiveness of that sin through the blood of Christ. But hey, as we look at what it meant, and we look at what Paul said, he received more than just forgiveness of sin. Hey, if forgiveness of sin was all, that would be good enough for me. And listen, that'd be good enough for any of us. But I'll say this, that God loved us so much that when we got born again, when we got saved, he gave us more than just forgiveness of sin. He did more for us than just wipe our sins away. Listen to what else the Bible tells us real quick. And we'll not stand before you for a long period of time. But Paul said here that not only did we receive forgiveness of sins, he said, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So then God, hey listen, not only give us forgiveness of sins, not only took them away from us in this life, but Apostle Paul says that what I also received from God was an inheritance. Hey, listen, among the saints, an inheritance among Abraham and Isaac, an inheritance among Moses and Joseph, an inheritance among Daniel and all those men in the Bible, all those faithful women back there, an inheritance that God has given me. Hey, listen, it's not a meager inheritance. It's not a diminished inheritance. It's not one lesser than, but God has given us an equal inheritance to all of those so that we not only have forgiveness of sins here, but God has given us an inheritance in eternity, that we can dwell with him and be with him, that we can walk with him and talk with him. Hey, listen, what we got when we got born again was more than just what we received that day, but what we received will take us into eternity. So I'm glad that my sins are gone. But in it comes that what comes with the forgiveness of sin is the inheritance that God has given us in these things. We look a little deeper. Now, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 12, he said, for we, and I preached this scripture in the past, and he says, now we have received, and he goes on some more things we have received. There's a whole lot in the Bible that you ought to go home and look up about the things that you have received when you've been born again and your sins are gone. But he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So then not only have we received forgiveness of sin, not only have we received an inheritance eternal in the heavens, but while we're here also, we have received the Spirit of God, not the spirit of the world. Hey, listen, the things of the world, and the Bible tells us, love not the world or the things that are in the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, he said, it is not of the Father, it is of the world. And we know that if we are in love with the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. I believe that's in the book of John. You can go read it there, but Paul's writing here in 1 Corinthians that we have received the Spirit which is of God. For what reason? That we might know the things that are freely given unto us. So what the Spirit of God does that we have received in this life, hey listen, it guides us and it lets us know what we have received of God. It lets us know what God has given us. It lets us know our purpose in this world. It lets us know when we're in the right and when we're in the wrong. Listen, what the Spirit of God is a comforter according to the scripture. That's what Christ told him. He said, I must go away. If I don't go away, the comforter cannot come. But also what the Spirit of God is, as it is a comforter to us, it is a guide unto us. Hey, listen, we know that if we follow the Spirit of God, it'll never lead us in the wrong direction. It'll never lead us out in some place where we don't belong. But the Spirit of God will only lead us in the ways of truth and righteousness. The Spirit of God will only lead us where God wants us to be. So many times people try and not to override the Spirit that is inside of them once they've been born of God. But I'll say this, you can do that, but you'll find yourself in a place where you don't often belong. But listen, if we just follow the leadership of the Lord and follow the Spirit that we have received, not of the world but of God, we will know the things that are freely given unto us, that we know how to please God and walk in this world. So we receive the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us we receive Christ in the book of Colossians chapter 2. He tells us this. Turn with me. I'll turn real quick over there. And it says, as Paul writes to him, Mary, he says, as ye have therefore
receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I mean, these are all some things that we receive when we're born again. A lot of people think that simply being a Christian means you have church membership. Being a Christian means that you're affiliated with a church organization somewhere, or maybe you're affiliated with a denomination somewhere. Hey, listen, I look around the world today and I hear a lot of people talking about how they're Christians or how they are church members along the way. But church member don't get you to heaven. Hey, listen, and being a Christian is more than having your name in the books and listen, down at the local community church. I'll say this, if my membership was nowhere, but I was saved out in the field somewhere, hey, listen, down by a fence post or on a stump somewhere in my house, hey, listen, on the in the front room by the on the couch or the footstool, wherever I made my altar, no matter where my affiliation was as far as membership goes, I'd still be a child of God, because it's more than just affiliation with a building. Hey, listen, I received some things on the day that I got saved, and it wasn't the pastor that gave them to me. It wasn't the church members that gave them to me. It was the power of God that came down and flooded my heart and filled my soul and made me who I am and put inside of me all these things that I have received. I didn't get them in a back room somewhere. I didn't get them, hey, listen, when the church gathered around and prayed for me. I didn't get them when they gathered around and ordained me. I got them all when the Lord saved me at an old-fashioned altar. When I poured my heart out and God came in, He flooded my soul and my life. Listen, not only did I receive forgiveness of sin, that I could stand up and Brother Clarence say, "How do you feel?" And I said, "I feel great. And listen, if I die right now, I'm going to heaven because I know my sins are gone." But little did I know on that day all the other things that God had in store for me that were far better than anything that I had ever known up to that time. And listen, I had an inheritance eternal in the heavens. And I'll say this, the older I get, the sweeter heaven gets. The more I see in this world, the more I long to go up to my eternal destination, because I have far more in common with what's over there than what's over here. Hey, listen, when I look around at what's happening here, it saddens my heart. It breaks my heart. It hurts my heart to see all the sin and destruction that's abounding. But I know this also, according to the scripture. Hey, listen to what Jesus Christ said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I'm thankful that the blood of Christ can conquer all sin. No matter how bad things get here, no matter how bleak they look and dark they feel sometimes, I know that God can still come through for our people, and I know that He can still deliver. And no matter how far out folks get and they're thinking, I'm glad it takes God who works on their heart. He don't care what's in their mind. He'll deal with their heart. And when they get a heart change, then their mind will change. Oh, listen, so we receive forgiveness of sin. We receive inheritance. We receive the Spirit, which is of God, not of this world, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. We receive Christ. We walk in Him. Hey, listen, we're rooted and built up in Him because we have received Him. Some people say, well, I remember years ago, people would put a wristband, and you all probably seen that. People would wear them around. They were selling merchandise and WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? People wearing those things around. They was proud to wear them as long as it was a fad, but I don't see people wearing them anymore. I never wore one. You want to know why? I didn't need a wristband to tell me or remind me what Jesus would do. I had something better than a band on my wrist. I had a Spirit down in my heart. Hey, listen, and I didn't have to look down and wonder what Jesus would do. All I had to do was just go to Him and ask Him what I should do, and He'd tell me what to do. I've got the Spirit of God. Hey, listen, and Paul's telling the folks in Colossians here, he said, "You have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye with Him," or walk ye in Him. In other words, be steadfast, be unmovable, be rooted, be built up, be established in Christ. Amen. Because you've received Him. We didn't receive anything. We received the power of God. And I can say my sins are gone. So over in the book of Colossians in the 3rd chapter, he says this, and we're going to wrap it up. He says, "And whosoever, or whatsoever you do,
Do it heartily. This is in 23, 24, and 25 of 3rd chapter of Colossians. Do it heartily. As to the Lord and not unto men. He said, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Hey, listen, so we have received a reward. We received inheritance. We received the reward. And I thought about in Sunday school this morning as they were teaching, and it might have been later in the service, some point I thought to myself, a lot of people will look at church and they'll look at their life and they'll look at what life is, and they can start considering death and they start considering the end of their time on earth. And I've had people come to me before, and I've heard it commented before that people say, well, my goal is to get to heaven. That's not a goal.
Amen.
That's not a goal. That's my home. I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
That's my reward. I've already got it. It was wrapped up on the day I got saved. It was wrapped up on the day I was born again. I received it when I got forgiveness of sin. Because I can stand before God, and I don't have to go before God and say, well, my goal was to get into that gate. Hey, listen, I'm not in a competition with God. I'm going to get through the gate through the blood of Christ. Hey, listen, I'm going to get to heaven. It's not something I have to strive for. It's something I already did. It's accomplished. It's settled. Hey, listen, you say, how do you know? Because my name's written down over there. And God wrote it down. And He's just waiting for me to come. And so I'm just biding my time here. I have received the reward of the inheritance, for I serve the Lord. But while I'm here, the things that I do and the things that we do, we ought to do them heartily. In other words, you ought to do them with as much passion as you can. Go as hard as you can for the Lord. And I know that sometimes, we said this in Sunday school this morning, sometimes the way looks dark, and sometimes you feel like throwing your hands up, and sometimes you feel like giving up. Sometimes, Saint, it seems like that things will happen around you and you'll start listening to the doubts and the fears, and you'll let them start to settle into your heart, or you let them start settling in your mind. You'll think, what's the use? No one listens. No one cares. We ought to just give up. But there's no room to give up. There's no time to give up. We ought to realize that we ought not to be weary in well-doing, because we never know who could be out there watching at that moment. And all we need to do is just be about the Father's business in everything that we do. And go as hard as we can. The Scriptures, I'm going to tell this. My wife and I, we were talking yesterday. And I thought about these Scriptures that Christ had talked to. Christ, in one portion of the Scripture, He talked about the wisdom. He was talking about how the world uses money and how people operate and do things in the world. And He told him, and I should have looked it up, and I didn't tonight. But He told him, He said, consider how they do things and take note of how they do things, and pattern yourself. Pattern yourself after how they do some of these things. And really the point that He was making was this, that they will take their money to buy influence. And they will use their money for influential things that they want. And Christ was trying to turn that to His disciples and turn that to the believers. And He was simply telling them, hey, listen, you need to be wise as they are. And if it's in your power to use whatever means that you have been given, that He's been blessed with, God has bestowed upon us, that we can have influence over people, we ought to use what God has given us to have influence. A lot of times, and I said that to say this, and it could be monetarily, it could be whatever, any other thing that you're blessed with in life. But I was sitting there and I was telling my wife, I said, you know what? We've been blessed in so many different ways. And a lot of times I often get discouraged after I hear people talk, and they'll say, well, kids will get older, and your teenagers will get older, and your grandchildren will get older. And there'll come a day when they don't want to have anything to do with grandma or grandpa, or they'll have their own life, or their kids will get out and they'll have their own life and everything else. And all these things. And I was reading about this, and I was studying it the other day, and I thought, Lord, if I could, just help me have the same mindset, that I would just use whatever it is that God has given me so that I could bring my loved ones around me enough so they'll hear at least what I have to say about the Lord. Amen. And I've heard people say, this is a kind of a common joke, I guess sometimes they say, well,
You know, if your kids come around you, I've heard people say, well, my kids don't come around me, or heard it said kids come around me only when they want something. And I told Mary, I said, hey, listen, I'll spend every dime I have to give to my grandkids and kids if it keeps them coming around me, that I can tell them about Jesus. Amen. If I die a pauper, as long as they come around, and you say, well, you're going to give everything you have. Hey, listen, if God's blessed me with it to bring, and they keeps them close and allows me the opportunity to tell them about the Lord, then so be it.
Amen.
Then I want to tell them about the Lord. And I'm not talking about being foolish with what God has blessed you with. But I believe if we use what God blesses us with, and we're good stewards with the things that God has blessed us with, and that to shine a light and to spread it and not hoard it and try to keep it secret and hide it from everyone, then God will just bestow more on us.
Amen.
I told a good pastor that one time when we were visiting. He was talking about different things, and the issue come up about some of those things. And I told him, I said, well, I believe that in whatever you do, whatever God's given you, you ought to be a good steward with it. In other words, no matter what it is, you ought to take and use it in a way that God would be pleased with it. I mean, after all, he's given it to you. I've not gotten anything by my own. Everything I have has come from God. And once you realize that, you can realize that, hey, listen, it's not yours to hoard anyway. If God's given it to you, it's yours to do something with. And so if God has given me things, it's my obligation to him, hey, listen, for the blessings that I have received, to be a good steward of those things. Not to use them foolishly and not to use them just for self-gain, but to use them in a way to show the mercy and the love of God. Hey, listen, and if I can do that, it's not for me to gain a name for myself, but that I might have opportunity to tell people about what God's done for me and to share the goodness of the Lord. And I believe that's what Christ was telling them in that parable. That this is not yours anyway. It come from God. You ought to take and use it and be a good steward of it and shine your light so that they can see Christ in you. Because if we're not good stewards with the things that God has given us and we use them wrongly, we also know that we have to answer for those things too. And I guess I was going to say that there's a reward or a certain amount of punishment or chastisement could be received by doing the things wrong. And that Paul actually says that in verse 25. He says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So God is not a respecter of persons. I mean, he loves us. But if we take the things that God has blessed us with and we use them wrongfully, we're going to answer for that, Brother Chester. I mean, we're going to be called on the carpet for that. I believe that. I don't believe we're going to hell. I don't believe he'll cast us out. But hey, listen, if he give it to us, he can very easily take it away. And I believe that. So I believe we ought to be good. So I've received all these things. Once you realize that the day you got saved and your sins are gone, you received all those things. You received an inheritance. You received the Spirit. You received Christ. You received the reward. You received all these things. And you receive all those blessings that God loads you with daily. And then you realize that they're not yours anyway. They're all his. And all God wants us to do is, he has purposed us in our life that we, since we've been saved, that we live for him. And so we use those things for him. For what reason? To let the world see how good he is, how much love he has. Hey, listen, and if I can bring my friends around and I can bring my loved ones around and my family around, there's no greater joy than being among, for me right now in my life at this point. I have more joy being with my family. My grandkids just bring so much joy to me. And I just love having all of us together. And I love being all together. I love all being together in God's church, in the house of God. I love being together, just being there. And you might say, well, you've got a son-in-law that's lost. He's never made a profession. You know, I don't know where my daughter is. I don't, in her relationship with God. And I don't know those things. Man, if I can just keep them, just do what in my power to keep them to come in the house of God. Just being around me, just to let them see how God just works in his children and how God just blesses his children. I'm satisfied with that. It's not my job to save them, and it's not my job to bring them back. God will do that. But I want my light to shine so they can see the difference in the children of God. Because we've received some very precious and special things, so we ought to let our light shine. And I'm glad that I can stand to them
when times get serious and they want to talk and have a serious talk about things and have that heart-to-heart talk, that I can sit there and say, my sins are gone. I'm not worried about those things because I've got a better home to go to. And this is why I don't worry about those things. And so it's just another opportunity to share the love of Christ. Man, God's good. And I love Him. And I appreciate Him. So that's the message tonight. James, won't you come? We've received some things, folks. Very precious, Peter, I believe it was. He said there was exceeding great and precious promise left unto us. And it is exceeding great. And it is most precious. It's good to be saved tonight. Let's stand to our feet while James sings and a verse of a song. If anyone needs to pray, we certainly encourage you to come and do that. Someone have a testimony thing on your heart?